Welcome to Pazzo's Podcast. We are back, and it's post St. Patty's Day, so I figured we would open with a little bit of a festive feel. You know, we missed St. Patty's Day, unfortunately. I was pretty bummed out about that, but we are here now, and we've been invited back. They keep on, for some reason, bringing us back here, and we're going to talk more about craft beer. I'm excited about that. Kevin, Jason, how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, doing really well. I'm half drunk, to be honest
what?
With you. Yeah, I'm already half drunk because I got here
already.
I got here 5 minutes ago, and I had all this market research I got to do, which really entails eating all these Girl Scout cookies and drinking beer, and so I'm having to do it in a very big crunch. I got the two kids at home. I got a lot going on, so I got here kind of late. So I had to. That's the problem. Whenever you have this kind of job, you have to get in and out of the beers very, very quickly, which means you're floating on air half the day, which is a great problem to have.
I can't say that I would mind that in any way. Jason, how are you?
We're doing great. I think St. Patrick's Day is a totally overrated drinking day anyway.
Really?
Oh, totally.
It's 100% amateur hour. As a matter of fact, it's I'm fortunate enough where I get to work really, really close to where I live. You know, and there's some days whenever I'm okay, let me just drop the car off and I'll walk home or I'll walk to work and I'll do those sort of things like that. And usually I don't have a problem with that, but whenever it's these amateur hour holidays, like St. Patrick's Day, those are the days that I really do have, like, okay, park the car. The problem is that St. Patrick's Day, like half of them are, it was really crappy weather. It was rainy, and it was somehow 28 degrees and still not snowing. It was just a miserable day, but I couldn't get in the car and go anywhere because, of course, I'm going to have a beer whenever I get off of work, and of course I'm going to go home, but there's no way you want to drive that day.
No.
Because everybody out celebrating that day, it's like the third time of the year, right after their birthday and right after New Year's Eve when they go out and drink, and they ruin it for the rest of us professional drunks. And it really does. It really sticks in my craw a little bit. And so I agree with Jason. It's a totally overrated holiday. And it really, really, sticks in my craw. It really gets me out of my rhythm a little bit. I'm really not happy about it.
You know, the only reason that I really even celebrated it was due to tournament going on at the exact same time. And I wasn't even really celebrating it. I was just like, hey, I'm drinking beers. Oh, it's St. Patty's Day. Well, that's cool.
If you're Irish, I get it, you know, because it's kind of celebrating your heritage or whatever. I get that.
Let's not offend the Irish.
But the thing is, everybody comes out on St. Patrick's Day, and a lot of people that come out are not the every week or multiple times a week drinkers that a lot of us are. So they come out, they get hammered, and then they create a problem for us where they're either taking up all the Ubers, the taxis, or they're making a fool of themselves in public. So, I mean, if I'm going to have a Guinness, it doesn't have to be on St. Patrick's Day. I'll have it any day of the year.
So that brings me to our first point, talking about St. Patty's Day. Kevin, I saw you over the week. You know, I'm going to hold you guys to these sort of things. You had a tweet that said green beer was terrible or something along those lines. What you want to stick by that? You want to talk about that?
And that's it. You know, beer is such a really great beverage on its own. It does need that kind of embellishment. It has a lot of really sophisticated flavors. It has all these really great textural qualities, and it has this complexity built in. But then you got that segment that always is going to go for the least common denominator beer. Talking about the Budweisers, the Millers, the Coors, the Industrial Light Lagers. And, of course, they're so pale, it doesn't take anything to make them green. So you just drop a little bit of food coloring in there, and all of a sudden it's a novelty, and everybody loves green beer. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely novelty of it, but beer is... it deserves more than that. It deserves more flavor, more texture. It deserves more depth and complexity. So if you're going to be drinking on St. Patrick's Day, I don't mind going with those St. Patrick's Day themes, but you don't have to go for green beer. There's still some really good Irish stouts out there that are dry, that are crisp. They're actually kind of refreshing, even though they're kind of dark. There's Irish red ales. They actually have a little bit of depth of sweetness, a little bit more characteristic, and the yeast kind of shows through in a slightly kind of spicy and a slightly rounded kind of way. And so there's really great flavors out there that you can celebrate from St. Patrick's Day. You don't have to relegate yourself to green beer and look like a college student whenever you actually graduated from college 20 years ago.
And have you ever tasted food coloring?
It tastes bad.
It's
disgusting. Can tell. You can tell it's there, too.
It's disgusting. In the kitchen, I don't use food coloring except in very rare occasions, and it's generally in some type of pastry or confections, you know, application. Like, if I'm going to color anything that is food, generally it's going to be with some natural ingredient. I'll use parsley, or I'll use spinach, or I'll use paprika, or I'll use, you know, some type of puree to color something. But, you know, any of those artificial dyes, they taste disgusting. And a beer, when when if I make a batch of cake and I add two drops to a batch of cake to make it that pastel green for Easter or whatever it is, you add those two drops to a beer, you're going to taste it a lot easier than you are in an entire cake. So I'd say, you know, why add two drops of some disgusting artificial dye to a beer that's only going to turn your mouth and your lips green anyway?
I agree with you guys.
Jason had a great point because during the Fat Tuesday celebrations and stuff like this, I did a beer cheese grit. Of course, I used an IPA for the beer cheese. Of course, my beer guy, I'm going to go that way. But then everybody's like, man, this is so vibrant. It's so like yellow and so orange. How did you? Which cheese did you use? I'm like, I just use the cheese everybody else uses whenever it comes to the beer cheese. The deal is I used turmeric as a spice, and that turned it just the shade color I want. And turmeric is very mild in flavor, so you didn't even taste the turmeric. But it does a really good job like that, really giving great color like that, and it is a natural ingredient. So Jason's absolutely right.
Using those natural ingredients, I can tell that you guys are very passionate about that. No food coloring. I feel like food coloring is kind of like the McDonald's way of doing things. You know
right.
what I mean?
Absolutely. It's just overplayed. And it was kind of funny because, you know, of course, I run a craft beer bar. And so a lot of folks, they came out too late, and they couldn't get into to the Irish bars they want to go to. So, of course, they land in my lap. Okay, and so
where's the green beer, bro?
Well, they're in there. So yeah, where's the green beer? I was like, you know what? We thought about doing green beer, but no, we're going to do good beer. We decided to make it short. We decided to do something different. We decided to sell good beer today, and so like, well, we don't really understand that. As a matter of fact, they came in also looking for things like, hey, let me get a Guinness. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we don't have Guinness. They look around and they see 750 different brands of beer. And they're like, what do you mean you don't have Guinness? You got all these. You know, I'm like, again, we're selling good beer. And not that Guinness is not a good beer, but it's a beer that you find everywhere. For God's sake, you can find it at the freaking Speedway. So people don't come into a really great beer bar to find things you can find at Speedway. No offense to Speedway, no offense to Guinness, but we can't sell that beer. So when people come in on a regular basis and they don't ask for that beer, they ask for other things, all of a sudden this very fragile Guinness beer, we can't sell a case of that in 3 months, and then all of a sudden it doesn't pay rent for us, and so we can't keep it, even though we do like that beer quite a bit.
Yeah, at that point it's just overhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't pay rent. Every product we have on the shelf has to pay rent at some point. And so we have to ask those beers to kind of move. And we don't necessarily ask the beer to do anything it's not capable of doing, but we do ask the consumer, you just tell us what you want to what you want to see in our store, and they do that with their wallet. They pay for these beers, and all of a sudden that's what we carry. Right now, those Irish styles are not particularly sexy. Even though I love them, they're not particularly sexy for the craft beer drinker. It's not a sour ale. It's not an IPA. It's not an imperial stout or anything like that, so it just doesn't make the cut.
I think another thing that we talked about last week was like how some countries, some breweries are stuck in the way that they've always done things, and they haven't really adapted to changing tastes. And I think Ireland is definitely one of those. I mean, I do like a Guinness and a lot of other Irish beers. Smithwick's, I tend to like a lot. But the thing is, you know, they don't innovate. They don't sort of, you know, go along with taste. They stick to what they're doing, and I have a certain amount of respect for that. But, you know, also, I only have a hankering for that flavor very rarely. If Stone is making 20 different styles of beer, then they're more likely to get my business because I'm going to be able to choose something from them than I am from, you know, one of those Smithwick's or Guinness or Harp or something that's, you know, I get a hankering for that once a year or whatever.
Yeah, sometimes we get folks that come in and they're a little bit of the older drinking ilk. They come in, they're like, hey, do you have any classic styles from this? I spent some time in Germany, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and I really fell in love with these kind of beers, and you always sell a lot of beer. So where's these beers? I'm like, you don't understand. Most of what we sell is not a classic style. It's not a beer that's been around a long, long time. There's been a lot of advancements over the last decade, 20, 30 years, whenever it comes to beer. And guess what? The local breweries and the newer brewers are taking full advantage of those technologies and those trends and palate changes. And so most of what we sell right now is going to be considered an experimental beer or something that does challenge the flavor, just like great cuisine is going to challenge flavor. Sometimes I do. I just want a great steak and potatoes kind of meal. But most of the time, I'm looking for something to inspire me. And so beer drinkers are doing the same thing.
Well, you know, speaking of potatoes, we're talking about Ireland. Next year, all right, I know you guys have just said that, you know, you're not really all about those Irish ales right now or anything like that, but next year, if we are about the Irish ales, we are about those sort of things, what should we be drinking this time of year?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's two styles. It's basically a stout and probably an Irish dry stout. Unfortunately, beers like, you know, Guinness, they're only found in car bombs anymore, you know, as far as going to make drinks like that. So, but the Murphy's makes a fantastic Irish dry stout. Look at your local brewery sometimes. Those guys are the ones that's going to, you know, make some of those beers for the holiday or coming up in the holiday. So sometimes your local breweries, the ones that, you know, specialize in classic styles, Blue Stallion, for instance, they do a really nice job at creating some classic styles from Europe. And so those are guys going to be able to make those Irish dry styles, make them very authentic tasting, and give you a sense of that thing that we've kind of lost with the momentum of the craft beer changing so much. Irish Red Ales are fantastic. And Great Lakes makes a particularly good one, the Conway's Irish Red. So that one's always available this time of year. It's a seasonal, and so I'm sure they're going to make that one next year too. But it's very malt-focused, but has a depth of complexity. If you don't like hoppy beers, then this should be a style that you're seeking out. So it's going to be around. You could probably still find them now, but definitely next year, leading up to St. Patrick's Day, feel free to use that.
I had a really great beer last night. It was a Rheingeist Uncle. It was the British bitter that they make. Mm-hmm. They don't can it, I guess, is what the rep told me, but they do have it if you go to the tap room a lot of times. He said it was one of the beers that they produced since day one. So I thought it was a great beer. And that is one of those traditional styles, that sort of, you know, mild bitter from England or Ireland.
Yeah, because those Irish beers, the reason why they existed is because they saw the momentum when it comes to the porters and stouts and the pale ales that were available in England, and they want to get in on that all of a sudden. And we all know that the English and the Irish don't particularly get along all the time. And so what happens is they say, well, we're not going to buy those beers. We don't even want to buy your ingredients. But how can you emulate what they're making with stuff that we grow here in Ireland? And so that's how those styles were created. And they had to adjust the grain character and the hop character based on how the profiles changed and the water that they used. And all of a sudden, they end up with uniquely different styles that kind of swept that country and become a thing that everybody across the world would eventually love.
Well, we're here at Pazzo's. This is our second time being here. Well, not our second time being here, but our second time recording here, rather. And it's pint night, Wednesday night. They got some good beers on tap. It's Braxton Brewing Company tonight. Let's talk about Storm Golden Cream Ale and the Haven Hefeweizen. Sorry, excuse me. Let's talk about what they would go good with.
Okay, whenever it comes to Hefeweizens, really those traditional white sausages are traditionally what you eat over there. I didn't get off the airport when I went to Germany the first time before I had a guy recommended the Weisswurst, which is the white sausage, and the traditional Hefeweizen, so that's fantastic. Cream ales are one of America's earliest known beers, made with corn and instead of a whole lot of barley. And so what we really like with that is a lot of summer salads.
That's what you were telling me. You were telling me that they are like the quintessential American beer when it comes down to it. You know, a lot of people think of Budweiser or something like that. But cream ale, that is something that comes directly from America from the start, from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, immigrants were landing here. They brought with them that traditional German characteristic or German heritage when it comes to brewing. But they didn't find the barley they liked. But they found this corn everywhere. So they decided to use corn in the brewing. So they decided to use that in making beer. So this is the closest they could emulate those classic German lagers, but using indigenous ingredients they found in America.
Yeah, I really like Hefeweizens with spicy or very tangy foods like barbecue, and if I'm getting like curry from an Indian place, something that's got a lot of you know, spiciness to it. That's what I really like a Hefeweizen with.
Now you guys can tell that I'm kind of an amateur because I pronounce it Hefeweizen, so it's Hefeweizen.
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 That's right.
Well, I'm going to put that down in my notes for next time. I'll definitely
remember that. And
we'll quiz
you later.
Yeah, you guys got to, man. Speaking of quizzes. If anybody of any of our listeners want to talk to us, we are on Twitter now. We're at Pazzo's Podcast on Twitter. And then on Instagram, we take pictures, things like that, at Pazzo's Podcast WLXG. And then on Gmail, if you want to ask us any questions or anything, we asked you guys the questions last week. We'll get into that in episode 4. But if you guys want to ask us questions, we are PazzosPodcast@gmail.com. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, that is exactly how you do it. This has been our third episode.
And it's a very fast segment.
Yeah, it went pretty quick.
These always go quicker than I expected to.
I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad that we get to come here, talk about these great beers, drink these great beers, eat Girl Scout cookies. We're going to be talking in the next episode about Girl Scout cookie pairings. So
nice.
You guys should stick around for that. Check us out. It's Pazzo's Podcast at WLXG.com. Thank you guys for listening.